This is tape four, side one. So you were in a couple of years, and...
When I first... You got it going?
Yes.
The first thing when I went in, they sent us down to Tucson to get indoctrinated into the Navy, and that was a 60-day period, which you get used to what the Navy was doing and learn how to salute your betters and stuff. And then right after that, I got sent to Armed Guard School in San Diego, and that lasted about 6 weeks, I guess. And then I was put in a pool, and they selected me to go to be assistant Armed Guard officer on a troop transport running out of Seattle and Portland to Honolulu mostly. Mm-hmm.
Was it frustrating after a while?
No, never was frustrating. Mm-hmm. My commanding officer then was a big, tall Texan kid. And after I was on the ship about a year, he took some leave and I took over the command of the Armed Guard then. Then I got an assistant, a school teacher from North Dakota as an assistant Armed Guard officer.
Yeah, I always wonder, it just the same thing went on and on and on and on.
It was pretty much drudgery, yeah. It did go on and on, the same thing.
Yeah.
We had GQ from daylight until, from first light, coming light, until it was full daylight.
Uh-huh.
And then in the evening from sunset until completely dark.
Mm-hmm.
And this one, everybody was on duty for those hours every day. And then the rest of the time we had worked it out into three shifts. Mm-hmm. You were on 4 hours and off eight on duty. But you all stood GQ.
General quarters?
Mm-hmm. Yep.
What was done for entertainment?
On the shipboard?
Yeah.
Well, when we were in port, we always had movies. Mm-hmm. They traded them around among ships all and every movie, and we had a movie set up on board. But the rest of the time, you were much on your own. Do what you could, if you could be away.
Uh-huh.
Of course, even in port. Well, I think when we were in stateside port and when we knew that we were going to be there in length of time, we would let half of the crew go on leave, 24-hour leave.
Mm-hmm.
And so that gave everybody a chance to have a little recreation in town whenever we were in port.
Mm-hmm. In a particular port, just half the crew got out?
Never more than half.
Okay, and so next time around it was the other half, huh?
Mm-hmm. Well, usually we would be in port about 2 days and you'd get all the crew.
Oh, all right.
24-hour leave at that time, usually.
Yeah.
Because we didn't spend much time in port because we did take on some cargo.
Mm-hmm.
That took usually a day, day and a half to get that loaded or unloaded and then reloaded or whatever it was.
Yeah.
But it didn't take long to load the troops. You know, they started coming, and 2 hours later, we're on ready to go.
Uh-huh.
It didn't take very long to load those guys.
Yeah.
Get them marching aboard and get to find where their bunk was and put their gear away, and they were ready to go.
Uh-huh.
They didn't have any time to fool around.
Yeah. What was the general attitude of the troops? Were there sort of different responses to what they were facing?
They all seemed to be, to me, they seemed to be pretty much gung-ho for what they figured they were going to do.
Mm-hmm.
And when we would call for volunteers to augment our gun crews, never had any problem. Always plenty of volunteers.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. My whole field. Those
20 millimeter guys, you know, they had a harness that they got into, and this one guy would shoot. Mm-hmm. But that's all it was. We didn't have anybody but that guy. Mm-hmm. So when we had troops aboard, we trained the troop passengers to maybe two guys to assist him, get the ammunition out of the ready boxes and put it on the gun when necessary. Uh-huh. And do that kind of thing, and pick up the brass and kick it out of the way so people weren't falling over it and uh-huh. stuff. But that's all.
Yeah. Uh-huh. And originally, did you expect that you might be in some danger?
We were always in some danger. Anytime you're out on the water, you're in some danger. Uh-huh. You don't know where a submarine might come. Uh-huh. Any place. Uh-huh. So we did general quarters every day, twice. The most likely time was dawn and evening at dusk, the most likely times to be attacked.
Oh, really?
Uh-huh. So I did general quarters during those times. So we tried to, from sunset to dark, and this was fine, still we went up north, and we'd get further north and further, it didn't get dark. Mm-hmm. So you couldn't stand from sunset to dark because you'd be standing all night. Mm-hmm. So we cut it back to just an hour, which was plenty when we were in the tropics. And uh-huh. sunset, and an hour later, it's dark.
Yeah.
But you get up there in the northern hemisphere in the summertime, it just don't get dark.
Up toward the Aleutians.
It just don't get dark.
Yeah.
It gets dusky, but it don't really get dark.
So you didn't encounter any subs?
Never got shot at, never saw anything to shoot at.
Yeah. Uh-huh. Well, you can't have been too disappointed.
No, we did see something to shoot at. Once in a while, they tore a target for us to shoot at.
Oh, is that right?
Uh-huh. Yeah, they did that. They had a regular schedule doing it in, where they were out of Bremerton, I guess. They'd take these crews from the ships, armed guard crews, take them out and tore a target from the shoot at, see if they could get a little training in real shooting, not just loading a piece of junk in a loading machine, which we had one of, too.
Oh, is that right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, the regular cargo ships didn't have one of those, but troop carriers all had a loading machine, and just for practice.
Oh, okay.
And they had a dummy ammunition made out of a regular cartridge case with a chunk of wood stuck in there for a projectile.
Oh, really?
Uh-huh. And practice loading this.
Uh-huh. So when the war was over, what was waiting for you back?
My old job.
It was waiting.
I betcha. Mm-hmm. Yeah, they had a guy stepped up into my job when I was gone, and then he had to step back when I came back.
So you worked for BPA a while longer. I wonder, and these were the years at which, maybe it's a little later, which there was a kind of a Red Scare. There was a kind of a move to cleanse BPA of its communists.
Now, where did you get that information?
Well, it's in the history books. Did you see any of that?
Oh, yes. I could see that, but it was kind of remote from me most of the time. Yeah, they fired several guys. But I don't remember who they were.
Yeah. Well, what was the talk around? Were people finding it pretty credible that there was a reason for doing that?
Well, I don't know. I know that they fired one guy off of this ship. Everybody on board thought they shouldn't have, but he was a great guy.
Uh-huh.
And everybody thought he was fine. But they fired him. Thought he was possible.
On the ship?
From the ship's crew.
Oh my God. He shot his mouth off or something? Or?
I don't know. I don't know what happened. But there was something somehow that caused him to get fired.
They thought he was a red or something
happened that
led
to him getting fired.
He wasn't gay or anything.
I don't know.
I mean, because that's one of the things that would get somebody tossed out.
Yeah, it probably would, but I don't think he was. Uh-huh. I don't know.
Yeah.
I think they just thought he wasn't dependable.
Yeah. And you know, in the BPA thing, the sort of the red purge, as they've called it, I've always wondered just how seriously people inside BPA took it. I mean, I can either imagine they're really thinking, oh, it's a good thing they're doing this, or maybe at the opposite extreme, thinking, this is nonsense. What were people thinking?
Well, I think that it depends on the individual case. Mm-hmm. You know, at least for me it was. Mm-hmm. They fired several guys. I thought they were nuts for firing. Mm-hmm. But then the rest of them, I thought, well, I don't know nothing about them, so maybe they weren't safe to have around. Mm-hmm. But, you know, and I think that was generally the feeling. Mm-hmm. People that you knew well probably figured you'd be fine.
Uh-huh.
But that didn't mean that the compars at B felt they were fine after they interviewed him and whatnot, looked at their record or whatever.
Yeah. Well, did you have any card-carrying friends?
Sorry to say that. It'd
be so much more exciting if you did.
Yeah, right.
Yeah. Yeah. So you went back to your previous job, and you remember coming home to your family? Your wife, you didn't have a family. Yes, you did have a family. Started. You already had one child, or?
Yeah.
One child. And let's see, the oldest was who?
Dale.
Uh-huh.
He was born in 42.
Just commenting that I always think that the people who went over into World War II really didn't have much of an idea of what they were headed for.
I'm pretty sure that's probably right. They knew when they were going to war and they were going to get shot at.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So you came back, and how was the family doing? What was the family engaged in at that point? How are they managing, I guess, is the question. I'm thinking because your income was gone, or what? What about income for the family during the war years?
Well, it was okay, because I was a commissioned officer, and I was getting a pretty fair salary.
Oh, okay. Close to what you had been getting at BPA?
Oh, not very close, but...
Oh, uh-huh.
But it was adequate.
Uh-huh. And did your wife work? No, she had a baby now.
Yeah.
Yeah.
No, she didn't. No, it's pretty tough when you got a baby to get a job.
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm. You know, I forgot your wife's name.
Virginia,
okay. So you had the reunion. Do you remember coming home and seeing your family again?
Yeah, I was never gone very long.
Uh-huh.
When the troop carrier went out and came back, you know, and it didn't take long. The trips didn't take very long, so I was never away from home very much.
When you arrived back in Seattle from a trip, you could actually make it down to Portland?
Well, I could, or I could get wife to come up.
Mm-hmm.
No problem.
Oh, uh-huh.
Well, there was no great problem.
Yeah.
And most of our trips, like going to Hawaii and back, that were only 3.5-4 weeks.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe even less sometimes. Mm-hmm. It was about 9 days going one way, and with the troop ship, we had some cargo, usually about a day or day and a half to get that unloaded, and and then we'd be coming back. Mm-hmm. And if we brought troops back, which we did a couple of times, it didn't take long to load troops. They just come with 900 or so of them, and in an hour or so, they're on board.
Yeah. Well, back in Portland, were you in the same house? How long did you live on 53rd Street? Is that a permanent residence for you?
Well, we bought it, and I guess we sold it, too. Can't remember when we sold that thing.
Well, didn't you build your other house first or not? I can't remember.
No, afterwards, I think.
Well, where'd you live in between? Well, the house was going after you were...
Now you're asking questions, and you're getting my old memory that's all followed up to try to work.
I can't remember.
Well, you had three kids. Dale and then Keith was the middle. Mm-hmm. And in 1950 came...
Kevin.
And so in with these three boys, were you still living in the same place? Or did you need to get a bigger house?
I can't remember either.
Sure didn't need to get a bigger house. What mm-hmm. we did with the old house, that's what I'm trying to figure out.
Well, in the meantime, how did you go about raising three sons? What were you planning to make of them?
I wasn't planning to make of them anything. Let them make of themselves.
Hey, Rose, what about the Vanport? That's where you lived then, wasn't it?
Right after the war.
You must have sold your house before.
Oh.
Because you lived at Vanport there for a while.
You were out of a house.
That's right. Well, you must have sold that house when I got by the way to the wars.
Oh, uh-huh.
And my wife went and lived with her folks in Eugene, I think.
Ah.
At least she had an apartment down there.
Could be, I can't remember.
She had an apartment.
What was her maiden name again?
Thompson,
okay. So then you lived in Vanport, and what was that like? I mean.
Oh, that was great. That was something.
That's when they had that flood.
Well, we were out of there before that happened.
Oh, yeah. Well, I thought you said you weren't.
Oh, no, we were out of there. My furniture wasn't pulled.
Oh.
That's just another story. But Vanport wasn't too bad, actually. Except the walls were, I think, one cardboard thin.
Uh-huh.
You could hear the people above you, on that side of you, and on that side of you, and if you were living on the second floor, you could always hear those below, too.
How did people handle that?
They tried to be quiet.
Were they doing a pretty good job of it, or?
Well, most of the time, they're pretty good.
Well, was there much authority there in case somebody wasn't cooperative?
Well, if there was, I never knew it.
Yeah.
It was no problem.
Yeah.
Most of the people who were living there were young people and anxious to find someplace else to live, too. Mm-hmm. They were making the best they could of a bad situation.
Yeah, very temporary. And were the blacks in a separate part of Vanport, or were they mixed?
They were mixed up.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
There weren't too very many of them, mm-hmm. actually.
So when the flood came, you had actually...
We were gone, long gone.
Oh, is that right?
Uh-huh. We, of course, didn't like living in Vanport, so we always had a line or two out to try to... The housing authority
mm-hmm.
was kind of on our side, I guess. And they finally came up with, they had two houses that we could, either one of which we could have. One was in St. John's, and the other one was in Oregon City. Mm. Well, Oregon City seemed like a hell of a long way from where we would live. So we took the one at St. John's.
Oh,
uh-huh. So it wasn't very far from that where Vanport was, but it worked. Mm-hmm. You know where that railroad cut goes through the hill there?
Yes.
Well, we were, the house we were in backed right up to the cut bank.
Oh, it did? Uh-huh.
And,
I forget the name of the street. And
the housing development was what the heck did they call that? Olga, you ought to know that.
Oh, no, I can't.
Were you north of Lombard?
Well, yeah, the development went to Lombard. But whether it was north or south, I think it was south of Lombard.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
I think Lombard was the north border.
Yeah, I know that area.
Fur Court, it was called.
So wasn't that like
It was called what court?
Fur Court.
Fur Court.
So it was a little more housing development, had a little kind of a loop around here, and houses on the inside and houses on the outside of the street. That may have been, 30 houses in the whole bunch, maybe.
Was there a bit of an economic downturn in the first years after the war?
Well, it didn't have any effect on me. I was
You did fine, huh?
Yeah. Fine. Back to my old job.
Yeah.
Okay. But I suspect there was some problems for a lot of people, because all those people that came out to work in the shipyards and stuff, they wanted to stay. And there weren't that many jobs. So it was kind of a tough time for all these people.
So you continue working for Bonneville, and but that came to an end at a certain point. Another opportunity came. What happened next? At some point, you went to work for the Western Region Audit for the Interior Department, or is that what happens next?
That's right. I was working as an internal auditor for Bonneville Power. And then the Interior Department decided they weren't going to have any bureaus with the internal audit in them. They were going to centralize the audit operation. In the secretary's office. And so they created three regions, I guess, the Eastern Region, the Central, and then the Pacific Coast. And I became regional director of audit for the department, which had the seven western contiguous states, Alaska, Hawaii, and Festetai.
Huge area.
They're pretty big.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
That was nice.
I was going to ask you, was it scary jumping into a big commitment like that?
Oh, no. Well, I didn't think there was anything to be scared of. You know, when you're young and think you know everything.
Okay. Well, not everybody thinks that way.
Oh, they don't?
No, huh?
I thought most everybody.
So you traveled quite a bit for that?
Well, after this got started, I was regional director of audit. I could pretty much select where I wanted to go, when I wanted to go, depending on where we had audits going on. But mostly I stayed pretty close to home. But we had audits going on in Alaska and Arizona and Washington and Oregon and Hawaii.
And this is all for the Interior Department.
Yeah.
So the Interior Department would involve, I'm thinking, Forest Services, Agriculture.
So BLM.
BLM.
And the Indians and
BIA.
BIA, and reclamation. What else? And of course, BBA and the right, I think there were. I'm lost.
Yeah.
I think there might have been three regions: the Eastern and the Midwest and the West.
They were all enormous.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, my in territory, I guess I had the biggest territory, but it wasn't the most populous.
Yeah.
Had the seven western contiguous states: Alaska, Hawaii, and the first territories.
Yeah, a lot of sagebrush.
Right.
Yeah. Well, what sort of basic problems were you having to manage? I mean, what sort of problem would come up that you had to deal with?
Goodness. You make me feel like a dummy because I remember nothing.
Oh. In my mind, I'm wondering, is this routine sort of work, or is it the kind of thing where you've got to be on top of certain things because they get out of hand? I know so little about auditing that I can only use my general imagination.
Mm-hmm. Well, I think largely it was auditing in the sense that I think of it is preventative.
Mm-hmm.
If they know they're going to be audited at some time or other, they're going to try to keep it straight.
Mm-hmm.
So that was my general take on the internal audit business.
Uh-huh. Were things in pretty good shape when you took over, or did you have...
They were in pretty good shape. Never found anybody embezzling any money. Mm-hmm. Dadgummit. Never had a chance to myself either.
Would have made you feel more worthwhile if they...
Maybe, yeah.
So it was more routine, huh?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
We tried to do a comprehensive audit, more than just auditing the books, trying to audit the management of the thing, too.
Mm-hmm.
We kind of halfway got in trouble with that a time or two because the auditees didn't think we had any damn business looking at their management and stuff. But we did it anyway.
Mm-hmm. What agency would that be? Or agencies?
Well, all of the agencies of interior would be the Indians and Reclamation. And
I mean, the ones that were resisting.
Oh, none of them wanted any of us in there, ever.
Oh.
They didn't think that was... Well, it's, somebody looking over your shoulder.
Uh-huh.
They didn't like that. You wouldn't like it either.
Well, what could they do about it?
Nothing.
You could just go in and start calling for the books and yeah.
Well, we wouldn't do that. We would tell them we were coming and, make arrangements to do. Days we were going to start stuff,
uh-huh.
So it would be okay. We never had any problem with it.
Yeah. Uh-huh. Any basic changes in the way that kind of thing was being managed? They did centralize it. That's when you were called in. God, you moved in from Bonneville, you moved into a position that was a high position
in the
Interior Department.
Secretary's office.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
Yeah. Yeah, there are.
Was there much competition for that? Do you have any idea what you were up against?
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
No problem.
People gave you good recommendations.
Well, I don't know what they did.
Or did you really have some help getting into that job?
No.
No, just applying.
Just fell into it accidentally.
Uh-huh.
And the guy who was my assistant got the Eastern Department job.
Oh, really?
Uh-huh. So, and the guy that got the Midwest, I didn't know him very well, but I knew him a little bit.
Uh-huh. And who was this assistant?
Don Bear.
How do you spell it? B?
A-R-E.
Oh, uh-huh. So that made for some real coordination, I would think.
Oh, yeah. It was good.
Uh-huh. Gosh. What was your pay like at that point? The BPA, you were making $3,200. You got up to $4,200, what? And then you made a big jump with this move to the Interior Department?
Well, I don't think there was any jump involved in that at all. I think I was a GS-15 when I was left behind.